Thank you, Mayu. There is a divine and universal principle that is available to all of us all the time. This protecting principle is infinite and ever-present. This protecting principle is intelligence, which is yearning to give of itself to everything that lives and breathes. This protecting principle lies beyond the perception of our five senses, but it can be perceived through trust. It can be touched by an attitude of mind. It is a principle of pure intelligence. United with pure love, it becomes a living substance and a power. When we turn to this principle of power, it will meet our every need. But how do we get it to work for us? That's the question. Now, if we wish to be warmed by the light of the sun, the process would be very simple. We would expose ourselves to the light and the heat of the sun, and we would allow it to warm us. No effort is made on our part to cause the sun to shine. It already does. We simply allow this law to fulfill itself. Submission to allow this is the only effort that will ever be necessary for us to exert. We become a bystander, we become a beholder, and we see the principle manifest and fulfill itself. The sun is always in a constant state of giving. It never withholds. We never question whether it will do its work or not. We just trust that it will. The Christian Hindu Mazumdar said, "Trust as a faculty of the soul passes almost without recognition. Yet, in the spiritual realm of life, it is a vital power. It is not a mere feeling. It is a positive organ of strength. We in our spiritual evolution rise from the life of five sense dependence to a life of trust. To trust and depend on the physical world is like building castles on the sand. This is because the physical world, everything about you, everything about me, is merely a constantly changing effect. It is the outpouring of our individual consciousness and the collective consciousness, or the race consciousness. Everything in the world is subject to you and me and all of mankind. Everything in the world has had its origin in the consciousness of mankind. And because cause is in the mind of mankind, we choose the amount of power things in the world are to have. We endow everything in this world with a nature and a power and a value. We are told in Genesis that the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl in the air. And we are told that he brought all of these things to Adam to see what he would name them. And we are told that whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now, as you know, to name a thing is to give it its nature. You and I have named everything in this world. You and I have given a nature to all that we perceive. To some, foods you have given the nature of sustenance. They're good and healthy and hearty. And to other foods, you have given a negative nature, yucky, distasteful. And to some of you, smoking is a powerful force. To others, it is a disgusting habit. Jealousy and greed may be strong forces in some. Bitterness and hate may be living a full life in others. We have named everything in this world. We have established our own personal, individual forms of government. You have said, and I have said, and everyone at some time or another has said, I am subject to that, or this is subject to me. And in doing so, we have given form, we have given life, and we have given power to some degree to everything in our world. After we created our world, and we felt that it was stronger and more powerful than we were, we have become so busy naming things in the world that we forgot our own true nature. The nature of you and your being, and mine and my being, and everyone's being, is love. It is harmony. It is strength. You and I are what God is. You and I were conceived in the mind of God. And we live and move, and we are in the omnipresence of God. We cannot be anything contrary to our source. We cannot live a life that is separate and apart from God, no matter how hard we try. Because we have been endowed with the creative principle of life. We are law unto ourselves. We shape and we mold our world according to our beliefs. And there is no power outside of ourselves. We have the only power that affects us. Everything, every single thing is subject to us. The God mind is the one and only mind that you and I use according to our own consciousness. Because the protecting principle is of God, it is not only good, it is goodness itself. It can do nothing that is contrary to its nature. In an attitude of submissiveness to its goodness, it will shower you and me with wholeness, with total good. As we become trusting and receptive to this protecting principle within us, it will outpicture in our lives as the answer to every single prayer. It is an active, vital, and vibrant principle of all of life. It is law, and as we turn to it, it will turn to us. Now, an individual I know not too long ago decided to have a career change after many years in a particular profession. And well-meaning and loving individuals in his life became very concerned, and they felt that he was taking leave of his mental facilities. And out of genuine concern, they attempted to make him understand what he was giving up. They reminded him of his financial security, of his professional recognition, and his career fulfillment. There is only one source of supply. Humanly, we limit our source. Our source of supply is not a specific person. It is not a company. It is not a branch of government. Our source of supply is God and only God. The form through which our good comes can be anything or anyone. If you are trusting and depending on the government, on the company, or on an individual, you are placing your trust on the outer physical changing world. Be thankful and be grateful for the form of expression, but do keep in mind always that that is only a channel through which your good is coming. Be expectant. Expect your good. Expect it to come when you need it. The integrity of the principle of manifestation will never, ever fail you. God will never, ever fail you. Now, not long ago, I came across a little story which Dr. Salazar liked to tell, and I would like to share it with you now because I think it is pretty apropos. So once upon a time, there was a group of little creatures which lived along the bottom of a great crystal clear river. The current of this river swept silently over them, day in and day out. There were young creatures, there were old creatures, and there were middle-aged creatures. There were rich, and some were poor, and some were just middle class. And there were good, and there were evil creatures. Now the current was always going on its way. It was oblivious to everything except itself. Each creature, in its own way, would cling tightly to the twigs and the rocks of the river bottom. Clinging was their way of life. It's what they did. It was what they believed. And they thought that if they released their hold, the current would kill them. And so it was they never let go. They resisted the current. It was all that they had ever learned, and it was all they did their whole lives. And one day, one of the creatures said, "I am sick and I am tired of clinging. I cannot see it with my eyes, but I trust that the current knows where it is going. I am going to let go, and I am going to allow the current to take me wherever it will. If I continue to cling, I will surely die." Now the other creatures, they all laughed at him. "You fool," they said. "If you let go, this current which you say you trust will kill you faster than if you continue to cling." But he had made up his mind, and he would not listen. Instead, he took a deep breath, and he released his hold. He let go. He stopped resisting the current, and immediately he tumbled along the river bottom. But the little creature refused to cling again, and in time, the current lifted him free from the bottom of the river, and he was no longer battered about, and he was no longer bruised, and he was no longer hurt. Now the creatures that were downriver were not aware what was happening upriver, and the current brought the little creature to them, and he appeared to them as a stranger. And they cried, "Look, a miracle! A creature like ourselves, but he does not cling to the rocks. He is free. A Messiah has come to serve us all." And the stranger who appeared before them, the little one who had released his hold of the rock, said, I am no more a Messiah than you are. The river delights to set us free if only we dare to trust and let go. Now, how much like these clinging creatures are we that we won't let go of the people, the places, and the things that hold us back from our true destiny? Our true journey is this adventure which we experience when we dare to flow with the current of life. The simple lesson of truth is that there is but one power in all of this beautiful universe. This power knows just what to do, it knows when to do it, and it knows how to do it. Aren't we told, I have ways ye know not of? It is infinite wisdom and infinite intelligence. You make communion with its divinity within you in the silence. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote, "Hearken, hearken, God speaketh in the soul, saying, O thou that movest with feeble steps across this land of mine, look up to heaven." This inner voice, this inner knowing, is forever flowing outward towards us. This living protective principle will come to all who will assume an attitude of trust and expectancy. It is in this consciousness that we will all say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." And the Lord God sent forth his word and healed them. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? So take a moment now to get comfortable in your seat. Rest your feet flat on the floor and place your hands in a comfortable position on your lap or at your side. And just relax for a moment. Take in that deep breath and release it slowly and deliberately and let go. Let go and let God. Be still and quiet your mind, letting go of everything that is outside this peaceful and holy place. And if you are harboring any worrisome thoughts, let them go. If you are holding on to anger or resentment or jealousy, let them go. Be still. Be very still. And go deep within to the center of your being, where our Father waits and welcomes you with his loving open arms, with his peace and his unconditional love. Be still. Our trust is not in man, nor is it in any government entity. It is not in a financial institution. It is not in any person, any place, or anything. Our trust is in God, our Father, our Source, our very life. And as you go about your worldly business, remember to consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. If God then so clothed the clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven,
how much more will he clothe you? And seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, and neither be doubtful of mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Love is here now. Peace is here now. Joy is here now. Health is here now. Prosperity is here now. Wholeness is here now. For God is here now. He stands at the door and knocks. Open the door to your heart and let him in. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He lifts your consciousness, and he gives you his infinite, eternal, and unconditional love. He gives you his wisdom and his peace. He gives you his total good. Amen.